What a title that we are going to have tonight's title is Wise Guy versus Wise God. The definition of wise guy, what is the meaning of wise guy? Other than smart aleck like a Jack Rabbit even. Oh, Jim Parker? No? Okay, the strict definition of a wise guy is one of those guys who has a real wit to survive on the street. And also they can be snitch. Can you see me? Surviving through the street conflict, and those people are not only have a quick wit, they have a quick mouth to survive through it. But they do not have a wisdom. They might have a knowledge. They might have a way to get around. This portion of study is already dealt in the first chapter of James. We can go back and just touch it up. And I believe it's somewhere on verse 17. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift is from above and come down to the Father of the light. And that's the one good portion. And also, portion we can take a look at is verse 5 of chapter 1. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all liberally without reproach. It will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Remember when I taught that portion, I said James, in a masterful way, he kind of sums up what he's going to talk about at the first portion, and then he starts to explain a little bit more. Do you want to move a little bit? So I know for sure you're not sleeping on me. All right, so again, not apostle, James is starting to go back to this wisdom he talked about. However, don't think just because we split the chapter in half at the verse 12, and that's this where we stopped, talked about untamable tongue, it does not stop there. Actually, remember the Bible, the scripture is given by the Holy Spirit, but the chapter division and verse divisions are not inspired by God. It's just man's work. In other words, some of the portion is not exactly, it should be divided. This is one of those areas. This whole thing, chapter 3 portion, talks about the untamable tongue and the consequences that brings the bitterness and envy down the road in chapter 3. So when you read it, remember, everything is context, context, context. So when somebody quotes the verse, just because they are Bible teachers, don't just buy their story. Read a minimum of 3 verses in the front, 3 verses in the back. That way you can keep it in context. Don't just stop at the 3 verses. If you can, actually some Bible teachers recommend read the whole chapter. Yeah. Who has that much time all the time? So at least they read the minimum of 3 verses or up to 5 verses front and back. That way you can keep everything in context. When you look at it that way, verse 13, of course, related with the verse that mentioned in the previous time. All right, there's a lot of smart people in the world. Who is the smartest man other than Solomon that we know from the Bible, whom we, in our generation, we heard the name, has the highest IQ. Who is that? Einstein. Very good. Give her $5,000. Einstein. All right, since you mentioned his name, what's his IQ? Very good. She knew that too. Any of you guys remember the general, the victorious general, Norman Schwarzkopf? You remember him?
Yes.
He was West Point graduate, and he was a brilliant man. And I heard his IQ was very high. I heard that the average people's IQ is somewhere around 115 to 125. Anyone goes above 125 is considered rather smart, or and if you go over 145, you're considered as a genius. General Norman Schwarzkopf, his IQ is 175. That was known. So no wonder why he can lead the whole army without any trouble. Speaking of that, yes, he was a great general, but let's not forget that who was actually behind the whole thing. It was God. It was not human effort, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says. And as I was listening to the news today by Peter Jennings, yeah, we have a 21-ton bomb that blowed everything inside, and pressure is a tremendous that crush everything in. Anything crushable can be crushed. We have that kind of bomb, but that's not the one that's going to destroy the evil. Remember that stage in the desert storm, the wind changed from usually heading to the Allied position, all of a sudden the wind shifted and they're facing back to the Iraqi position there, so they could not use chemical bombs. Who changed the wind? Human? Bad chance, right? It's God. And just ask for God's will, not God's wisdom. There was, during the conference, Mike McIntosh talked about he doesn't want to side any side, Iraq or America, to pray for their lives. And somebody got ticked, because some redneck got ticked. We should pray for our soldiers. Yeah, no doubt. But guess what? God loves those Iraqi people. Guess what? God loves Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, to our surprise. God loved Judas. That's why he washed that man's feet. When we think about that kind of thing, yes, we should pray for the peace. However, there's no real peace as long as they are a human being. So pray for our soldiers, please. Put that in your daily prayer. Lord willing, they all come back alive, and not only just come back with Jesus in heart, every soldier. Wouldn't that be great? That would be massive revival. Anyway, human, let's go back to this sermon, teaching. Human made quite an accomplishment in development in scientific area and medical development, such as Hopkins' disease, and they have some sort of medicine to help. And penicillin is a great achievement. However, there's so many diseases that people cannot even name, and we don't have a cure for it. And the very computer I'm using, that particular computer is better, and of course much smaller than the computer they used to send the people in Apollo 11 in 1969, those people to the moon. They had the mainframe that is bigger than the majority classroom and filled with the mainframe and they're calculating. This one would outsmart that computer. And some of you guys have a little watch with a little calculator on the top. That computer, that, I know it sounds funny, but that is computer, and that's still better than the mainframe they use at NASA. We developed the things, especially the American people developed the things that beyond most people's comprehension. So it is easy for us to think that we are special in our sight, but not in God's sight. How many of you guys understand how the email works or how the internet works? Any of you guys understand? If you do, I need to talk to you. I'd like to learn from you. Oh, yeah, the guy who invented the internet. That's right. Fat chance. Anyway, computer language is simple. It's a zero and one. And that's get all mixed up. And And human learn how to subtract the silicon out of the sand. With that silicon, they develop the computer chips. And with that computer chips, they can calculate the mass numbers within a minor seconds. And with that, make our lives easier. Is it really easier? No, we are more bound up. Just look at me, what I have on my belt. It's a chain. Human says, oh, we made a light. Thomas Edison, incandescent light he made after how many tries? Any of you remember?
Several hundred.
14,000. There, it's close. So he tried 14,000 times, and he finally made a filament. But for God to try, he said, let there be light. It was just one word, one sentence. And there was a light. Men thought that they were good enough to be a gods, little g-gods. So they come up with, they want to duplicate the Earth environment. We have one way up in the Oracle, Biosphere 2. And don't think that there was some sort of scientific accomplishment. It has nothing to do with the scientific accomplishment. And then some of the kids go there, and a big deal, the college professors goes there. Yeah, it is nothing more than gigantic greenhouse. And when they try to start it, they have to put all the stuff inside to start with, and so it's not really starting from nothing. And they think that they can do something, but then not really they can do something about it. And it's nothing more than imitation. And of course, who is good at imitation? Devil. We will learn a lot more, and if we get to go to the Revelation, he imitates everything what God does. How? Let's go back to the biosphere. Please understand, there is a big, dark, spiritual implication in the biosphere. It's a completely New Age concept. God created heaven and earth in literal one day. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there, please. Genesis 1. Can you find the Genesis? Genesis 1, 1 and 2.
Right after the book of
Ephesians. Yeah, there we go. Like I said, Jack is so smart. He loves rap. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the earth, face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's the stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's make this clear. Some people say, I'm a Christian, but I believe in evolution. They just say, I disagree with what I just said in the beginning. You cannot be a Christian and believe evolution. And some people say, well, I know there is a big shot pastor in town, and he said, well, there is a divine evolution thing. As God made, start with a little thing, and then so it can evolve. That's bogus. You cannot. If you believe that, you cannot buy the Genesis 1. If you cannot buy what the Genesis 1 says, you cannot believe anything Bible says after that. Either you buy receive the fact, creation of God, or you don't believe anything at all. So God says he created heaven and earth in a little one day. And how many months and years they tried the biosphere and they still failed. To make the same movement as human arms, robotic scientists and biomechanical scientists and electronic specialists got together. And they tried to make simple robotic movement. And of course, it's much stronger than human hands. Spending years and millions of dollars, they made come up with a 20 different movement of robotic arm. The way it can grab, it can twist, it can do few things, 20 different movements. Do you know how many movements human arms can do? Any of you guys know? I learned this. 800, there we go, she's right again. So, human body can do a lot more than any scientist can come up with. You guys heard this joke, some of you guys know this one. And some scientists came to God and they said, wow, we are real smart. We can, now with, by using DNA, we can create a human being too. God said, oh, really? We came here to see who can do a better job in creating human being. So why don't we try God? So, with a little twinkle in his eyes, sure, why not? So scientists scooped down and then grabbed a handful of dirt. And the guy said, uh-uh, you get your own dirt. See, human, though, even though they are smart, they cannot start from nothing. They have to start from something that created by God. God doesn't have to start from anything. He just simply created from nothing. While you're at the verse in chapter 1 of Genesis, so let's go to verse 27. You're already there. So let's look at it from one time. So God created man in his own image. Did you notice the singular there? His own image. In the image of God, he created him. And male and female, he created them. And but same time, I go to verse 26. We just noticed in his image, right? It was a singular. But verse 26, then God said, he said, let what?
Us.
Make man in what? Yeah, as you can tell, my English is obviously not good, and I speak loud English, I speak terrible Korean, so I'm in somewhere in between. But even though I speak loud English, I kind of understand this portion is a plural, not singular. In other words, there is more than one God, one personality. There is this portion, Genesis, is literally talking from the verse 1 all the way here and throughout the entire Genesis, you will see God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He said, let us make the man in our image. That pretty much shows there is more than one personnel in there. That's trying God. One of the, as I said, the hand movement can come up with about 800 different movements. I haven't counted. I don't think I can count that many. So God's creation is a whole lot better. And we try to, humans are trying very hard to ignore God's creation. That's, you know, evolution is nothing more than tools from the pit of hell. So if you believe that, you're buying the story of Satan. Turn your Bible with me to Proverbs, right after Psalm, right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter 2, please. Proverbs 2, verse 10. I gave you the definition of the wisdom before, but just in case you haven't got it yet, I'm going to just read it to you because this is so good, you might want to jot it down and keep it again. True wisdom is not acquired information. True wisdom is not acquired. I'm not reading the portion, I'm just giving you the definition. True wisdom is not acquired information. In other words, it's not knowledge. But practical insight with a spiritual implication that only comes from God. So true wisdom is something coming from God with a practical insight and with a spiritual implication. Let's go to verse 10 of chapter 2 in Proverbs. When wisdom enters your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and whose are devious in their path. That pretty much sums up good and bad wisdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You might want to jot this portion and kind of mark it in your Bible, highlight it, whatever. Some people say, well, I don't understand why the Bible talks about, you know, non-believers says, I don't get it. Well, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. This is the reason, literally telling us, the people don't understand the Word of God because they do not have a Holy Spirit. Foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. For he who spiritually judges, who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of God, Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. When we become a born-again Christian, the guarantee of the salvation, as the evidence of that, is the Holy Spirit reside in us. Apostle Paul. Before Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was very educated man. He was one of his epistles, I believe it's the 2 Corinthians, he said he was Hebrew of Hebrew and tribe of Benjamin. And when it comes to following the Jewish law, there's nothing that he didn't do. He followed everything. He knew the law, but he didn't know the Lord. He knew how to follow the Ten Commandments, but he did not know the Ten Commandment giver. Until he met Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, was so smart. And his teacher, Gamaliel, he couldn't throw enough book at him because he read them all. He understood them all. Not only that, I learned that he could speak of seven different languages fluently. I just want to try the one, English, and I cannot even do that. And this guy could speak seven different languages fluently. Very smart man. Why couldn't he understand, even though he read the Torah, the Old Testament scripture, why couldn't he understand? Because he couldn't discern. Why? Because he didn't have the Spirit in his heart. Until he met Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came to him, as the scale came off his eyes, because he was blinded by the light, his spiritual eyes opened, and understood the Word of God. Now, we pretty much consider him as second in command when it comes to Christianity. So, he became a different man simply following the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit. Now, finally, let's go to the James chapter 3, verse 13. That was quite an introduction. And we will pray. You thought that I wouldn't pray, huh?
No, I was just looking for...
Sure.
Verse 17.
Heavenly Father, you give us wisdom, you give us the knowledge to follow you. And you give us the faith to make the bridge where we cannot see, we cannot understand. Because the faith, because the wisdom we allowed us to have, even the simplest Christian is smarter than the intellectual person in the whole wide world. Because Jesus Christ, salvation evidence, Holy Spirit lives in us. Teach us tonight. Let us understand the heavenly wisdom and apply that heavenly wisdom into our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his work are done in the meekness of wisdom. Remember, James has been talking about do not be just hearer, but be a what? Doer. So all this time he's been talking about that, and not, of course he's not going to stop. He says, who is wise and understanding among you, and let me show him with a good conduct and in meekness of wisdom. God's wisdom coming through the man of God bring forth the wonderful result. And that wonderful result truly bring glory to God in the Father, God in heaven. I'm going to make an example. Some of you guys worked hard at the pastor's conference, and some of you guys had the privilege to sit inside and listen to the great teaching by Chuck Smith. How many of you guys were there? I know you were there. Great. Did you guys enjoy his teaching? I heard it was phenomenal. Anyway, there were the registered people was 700. The last one I got was 723 people who showed up, and plus 100 people and the volunteers. Anyway, those people, the attendees, saw the volunteers' love for them. And they couldn't believe that these people have gone to many different conferences. I mean, they go to conferences like Brian Richardson from White Mountain. He goes to about minimum of 3 to 5 different conferences in a year. And he said to me, no other conference is like this. They might have the same kind of style of teaching, but to make ours different than any other conference is the volunteer attitude. The volunteers is phenomenal. And at the staff meeting in Calvary Tucson this morning, Pastor Robert asked me, what is to make them the different than normal volunteers at the church? So I said, it's very simple. I asked him to do one thing. Think about this. What would you do if the person who walk through that door is Jesus? Is there anything that you wouldn't do? Practically nothing. Probably we'll kiss the ground if he walked around. And I'm not asking, I didn't ask about our volunteer to do that. I asked him to treat them like each one of them as Jesus Christ. And that's why they could have a smile. That's why they could go out of their way to do this. Now, why should we stop at the conference? Why can't we carry that all the way through? We as the Calvary Chapel of Sorrento, why can't we serve one another as we serve to Christ? Can we do that? Yeah. Simple. We can do that. And guess who's going to be blessed while we're doing that? We. We're going to get blessed. So while we're doing good things, the feedback I was getting from the attendees was phenomenal. And they all says, glory to God. They didn't say, wow, guys, you guys are so great. No, yeah, they said it, but they said, glory to God. Because we did the right thing, who get the glory? God get the glory. If we do things in an upright way, in proper way, with the used by using God's wisdom, then who gets the glory? God. That's our ultimate. Let's go to verse 18. But if we have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, the confusion and the evil things are there. So we just find out here that there's not only heavenly wisdom, but also there is a demonic wisdom. I don't know. I don't want to call it as demonic wisdom, because in my opinion, there's only wisdom. It's heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom. So demonic scheme that I would rather call. And then when we are bitter and envy about someone, let's face it, we usually don't see truth, do we? When we are bitter about somebody, we can that person, especially if that person is not a fellow Christian, we can see that person as fellow brother or sister in the Lord, because our mind is dead. Any of you guys don't have? I'm going to ask you this. Any of you guys don't have a sunglass? Do you understand what the sunglass would do? It put the shade on. In other words, it tints the actual color, right? When we have a bitterness and envy in our heart, that's what we do, putting different shade in front of our eyes. I'm not saying the sunglass is bad. I'm just saying that's the concept. So bitter enviness and when bitter and bitterness envy, guess what we start to do? Gossip. Remember I made a challenge last week, week before? For let's not talk bad about anyone. Did you try that? Yes, no, yes? Notice how many less word we speak? I'm sure you all noticed too. Make some application in verse. What?
I said it's
probably right. Verse 18. Here is a kicker. This is something used as a filter. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to heal. We say, okay, you first on the highway. Against my blood, but yeah. Full of mercy and fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is so good, so rich. When I read this portion, it kind of reminded me of chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. You know what I'm talking about? Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, fullness, and self-control. Very good. I like her. She's so smart. It reminds me that. And this thing, if we follow that wisdom, if we follow this God's way, this filter, we'll have a less problem. It's hard to say somebody who is smiling at you. Not smug, I'm talking about smile, nice smile. So when somebody do something at you, like they're showing a little finger on the street because you accidentally come up or you did something or you haven't done anything, they give you a bird. Don't give it back. Smile at them. That just destroyed their feeling. And you're going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. So let's make a few questions, not necessarily up to but I think this is relatively good things. Stop everything and kind of it. You can write it down. Do we pray to God in the midst of mess and trials for our will or His will? Do we ask for which one? Which one do we ask for? Our will or His will? You answer. Our will? Yes, that's right, Stephanie. And the second question I'd like to ask you and myself, what kinds of prayer we request to God? What kind of prayer? You might say, what do you mean? Do we ask for a prayer? If I say, God, I want a hummer too. I'll make a deal with you. If you give me a hummer too, I'll pick up somebody and bring them to the church. Yeah. I better put a lot of people in that big thingy. Yeah. I don't think God's going to answer that hummer too thingy. But God will answer whatever according to His will. Third question. Without listening to Him, sometimes we simply ask God to punish somebody whom we don't like. Do we? Don't tell me you do that. I do it. God go get them. God sick them. We have a major attitude problem because we think we are right. Do you think I'm wrong? No. Look at the Iraq people. They think we are the imperial chauvinist dogs. Why? Because they are right. We all think we are right. To gangster, to gang the street, they are right and the cops are wrong. Do you know the criminal has their own code of conduct? It's okay to beat up the guard in the prison, but among inmates, you are not supposed to steal. You do that, they beat the snot out of that guy. All right. Next question. Do we examine ourselves to see if there's anything we did wrong? Psalm said, test thought, examine my heart if there is anything wicked in me. How often do we do that? I think we should do it every day. Another question. If we find that wrong thing, what do we do with that? Do we correct it? Do we repent from it? Do we make it right? Or do we... this is not important to God. And why don't we just pick up the cup and put it underneath, wink at it. Not big sin to him. I had a chance to witness one of my clients. He is a biker. He's a biker. He has long hair, this big bush mustache. Kind of smelly too. Anyway, this guy said that he cannot understand why anybody helps an inmate. And those guys rape women and molest children and kill other people. I don't know. So I asked him, Joe, do you ever think that you like to sleep with a good-looking woman? Said, yeah. All right. Do you ever think about hitting somebody with a lead pipe or shooting a person? Said, yeah. Did you ever lie? He said, yeah. Then you're a liar, you're a murderer, you're a rapist in God's eyes. He said, oh, God is smarter than that. No, that's what the Bible says. I disagree. When you disagree with God, that means you prove you are wrong. And he still disagrees because he's self-righteous. In his opinion, he's right. And even God is wrong. Do that? You think we are right and even God is wrong? How about, do we think about how to get back in range? No, the Lord says differently. Romans 12 verse 19 says, the vengeance mine. And sometimes I say, tell my wife jokingly, I'm kind of busy, I'm going to take care of my own business. That doesn't work. Huh? Yeah, we can do that. Next question. When we pray, do we ask for it to be shown to others, or do we pray for His perfect will to be shown to others for His glory? Again, that's the same question. Ours or His? Now, the last question. Whatever we choose to do in conclusion, let's remember this. We cannot come up with the action unless we think. First of all, we have thought and we make a decision and we carry into the action, right? You all agree? Nobody can say, well, made me to do it, because we have to make a decision. We have to think through. when we choose to do that particular action, would we do it if Jesus is sitting right next to us? Would I do it if Jesus is standing with me? Question is, and the answer is, absolutely not. Then why do we do it when the Holy Spirit lives in us? When we think about that kind of thing, that's the spiritual implication in our heart from the Holy Spirit, and that is the wisdom. Wisdom is now wisdom on me. Activated in their lives. Wisdom is nothing more than knowledge, is let it sit. Problem is now we learn this tonight. That means we are accountable to what is right in the sight of God. I'm double accountable because I taught. Alright. Any questions? Any disagreement? I don't disagree.